analysis part, basically the major goal is to let you know how to analyze algorithms, not design algorithms. If you remember, this is very different because designing is more difficult than analyzing. Sometimes more difficult, okay? Because if you think about a reasonable algorithm, that's not so easy. So the focus will be on analyzing, which means usually I will give you a problem. I tell you this is an algorithm. Please analyze how good this algorithm is in terms of approximation ratio or in terms of running time, etc. Okay, so this will be very likely one question in midterm or final exam. All right, only one. And then later on, when you learn game theory, you will know actually for game theory part, some subjects are very easy. Okay, there is some standard calculation possible. Okay, so those are easy parts. All right. Okay, let's come to the independent set. Now, I will show you the same figure. All right. And I'll show you the same solution. And you wonder how, why do you show me the same thing again? Well, now I tell you, now please treat the black notes as a solution. What's the nature of the black notes? Why don't you know it, right? It's your text cover. What is black notes? What's the nature of the black notes? Are there any edges in the black notes?
No.
Why no? Because if there's an edge between black notes, then white notes are no longer vertex cover, right? Okay? Remember? Every edge you need to have one white vertex, right? Okay? So if there is an edge between black, not possible. Then white is not vertex cover, right? You didn't touch every edge. So that's why there's no edge between black notes. Alright? And then we call the black notes independent set. No connection between each other, right? Okay? Well, so, independent set is trying to find a maximum number of vertices or nodes that are independent, right? It's called maximum independent set problem, alright? Now again, you can do greedy, alright? I want to see that as many nodes as possible, and of course, the first node I say that I do not want this node to touch too many other nodes, right? I want that my selection to touch very few nodes, so later on I have more choices to select other nodes, right? Okay, so the greedy now becomes I want to pick a node which touches very few nodes, right? Okay, so let's see, this greedy, right? Every time I pick a vertex or node that has a minimum degree, right, in the graph, in the remaining graph. Okay. So, this method actually is not good. It is not good. Why? Let's see. This is a figure. And in this figure, we have a one vertex x on the left, and n nodes, n vertices in the middle. Right? And then x connects to all these n. And there's a so-called clique on the right, kn. What is kn? Kn means you have n nodes. Each pair of nodes have connection. Okay, it's a very, very dense graph. Okay? Many, many edges in this KM. Every pair has an edge. And then I let any VI connect to all the nodes in KM. Okay? This is only, I only draw one, but actually it is many. Okay? I connect any node in KM. Well, so in this scenario, if it's greedy, then which node do you select first? You select a node with the minimum number of degree or the neighbor, right? So which one do you select first? V1. Remember I said from VI, right? V1, V2. They connect to every node in KM. They connect to every node in KM. So their degree is what? Oh, X, very good, okay? X has a degree N. But all the VI has degree n plus 1. Because there are n edges here, 1 edge here, right? So every VI has n minus n plus 1 edges. And Kn, even more, right? Kn, they're inside already n minus 1 edges. They also connect outside, right? V1, V2, V3, too many. Therefore, the first node to select is X. After select X, the middle layer cannot select right? Because they have nation.
No.
Oh, right? And then you are left with the one on the right, Kn. But you know, Kn is a so-called clique. So all connections inside, right? So you select one node, you can no longer select any other nodes, right? Because we know that every two has an edge, right? You select one, then other things will be just not possible, right? You cannot select another. Alright? Okay, so now you see, greedy algorithm can only select two nodes. Right? How about optimal? How many can optimal select? And yeah, and very good. Optimal will select all the middle layer nodes. They have no connection between each other, right? Between each other. So select all the V will be the optimal solution. So now you see the optimal is N, right? Algorithms are 2. What's the ratio? Now remember, this is a maximization. The ratio is reverse, right? It's a 2 over N, right? It's very bad. It's arbitrary close to 0, right? It's a very bad ratio. Okay, it's a very bad ratio. And actually, people prove why see the enable edit. So actually people prove that you cannot do better than maybe it's this. I partly forgot. So basically it tells you you cannot do better than this kind of approximation. Okay? 1 over n to the power of something. So if optimal solution can select a lot of nodes, you can only select a few. 1 over n, roughly 1 over n. So this is the best thing to do. Roughly, I mean. Alright. Then there is a very strange thing here. First of all, when you see this figure, you know, independent step problem is the opposite of vertex cover, right? We already know independent step is opposite of vertex cover. But we know vertex cover has a very good approximation, right? But I also told you independent step has very bad approximation. So the first bonus question is why? This will happen. Why? Vertex cover has a very good approximation, but independent step has a very bad approximation. Although their optimal solution correspond to each other. So if I have optimal solution for vertex cover, I reverse it, it becomes optimal solution for independent step, for sure. Right? Because you are minimizing the vertex cover size, you are maximizing the independent step size, right? So if vertex cover reach optimal, independent step also reaches optimal. Okay? So optimal solution corresponds to each other. But why approximation ratio can differ that much? Right. That's the first bonus question. Any idea? Now I know it takes time. Now I will tell you the second bonus question. They are just consecutive. Okay. You see, the approximation ratio for independent set is very bad, right? But independent set can be solved very quickly in some special graphs. So did you remember, or can you recall, any special graph where the independent set problem can be solved very easily? Right? This second bonus question can have more than one answer. And the reason I ask you this is because we somehow covered it in the first lecture. It's not out of the sky. It's something that can be referred to. So now, 1 minute bonus time. You can answer any question. Either explain why they differ a lot, right? Or tell me which graphs in concept is easy.
Leon, it's in the second bonus, right? Yeah, because the last time, in the last lecture, we talked about, so do you still remember that terminology we used in that example? Tree, we can use DP, right? DP on tree, we can solve some problem. What do we call it? We call it a very informal name, right? Want to say that somebody to join a party or something, right? What do we call it? But of course you get bonus already. Tree is one of the parameters. What call it?
Yeah,
the maximum comfortable group, right? Okay? Right? So, actually, that one is exactly the independent set because we said we do not want any connection between the two people we selected, right, in the group. That's exactly independent set, right? Okay, so this one thing. Now, there is a second thing, but it's okay not to touch the second thing because the second thing is a bit too advanced. Although we also mentioned that, but we didn't mention that graph. We only mention the tree. Alright, but feel free to let me know if you have any idea about some topics we covered in the first lecture, which may also allow independent set to be solved fast, even though you didn't attempt to do that yet. Okay? Well, so now we come to the first bonus question. Why the approximation ratio can differ that much? Possibility of approximation is just a too different for the two versions of the problem. This one is really not so easy on us. This is it's a challenging on us. Okay, let me write down something. This is a hint. Okay? What do I mean by this? This is approximation ratio, right? What do I mean by this? A is what? Oh, first, let me ask you. O is what? Option is very good, okay? A is what? Your algorithm. What is A over O? Approximation ratio, right? Also, this is okay, right? Now let's this one. This is independent set. This is the test, right? Because they complement each other, right? Vertex of a independent set is A, then vertex of a N minus A, right? Okay. So this is true. So you know that independent set can be very bad, which means O can be a big value or maybe relatively good value, right? So or maybe O can be half N. But A is very small. So A is very, very small value. Okay? And O is a normal value. Okay? Only this is the case, then your ratio will be very bad, right? Okay? So A small, O normal. Now you go to vertex cover. N minus A becomes what? Very close to N, right? This is a big number, right?
Yep.
Very close. How about N minus O? This is still normal. Right? Because O is normal. No means it can be half N, right? Half N. And then, if you do n minus half n, it is still half n. So, this value is still normal. So, n over a normal value, will this value be very big? Will this be very bad? No, right? It will not be bad. That's why approximation ratio, because the comparison base is different. The one of them you're comparing with a, or with o prime. The other one you're comparing with n minus o. The base is different. So, one problem being difficult does not mean the other one is difficult, right? Or is it bad? Alright? So that's the reason behind. Okay? Well, so basically says that if your degree of the graph is small, then the intercept problem has a okay approximation. And the algorithm is very easy. Every time you pick a vertex, arbitrary, and then remove the neighbors of this vertex. And then in the remaining graph, you pick another vertex and remove your neighbors. Alright? So this method, when it's a general graph, it's very bad. But if the graph has a bounded degree, so in other words, if the degree of the graph or the number of neighbors of any node is at most delta, then it is a delta plus one approximation. So this approximation is very easy to derive. Basically, it says, I just let optimal solution pick everything. I assume optimal solution can pick everything, but actually, it cannot, right? Okay? But the best optimal solution can do is pick everything. And then what is the greedy algorithm doing? The greedy algorithm says, whenever I pick one vertex, I always sacrifice delta other vertices, right? I pick one, sacrifice delta. And then I pick another one, sacrifice delta, right? And then how many can I pick? Altogether I have n nodes, right? So I can pick how many? It's very easy. I can pick so many nodes. Right? Because I pick one, sacrifice delta, pick one, sacrifice delta. So that means for every delta plus one vertices, I can pick one vertex in my solution. Right? Okay? So I just divide n by this delta plus one. This is the number of vertices I can pick in my solution, in my greedy solution. Right? And this is larger than or equal to optimal divided by delta plus one. Right? Because I said, okay, optimal can, in the best case, can pick everything, right? Okay? So, that's about it. That's very easy, right? Delta plus one approximation, I think will be the easiest ever approximation you will analyze. Right? Okay. But anyway, I will not be spending too much time here. Now it's time to come back to the NetTech problem to see whether we can have a fast algorithm but slightly worse solution. Because you know NetTech has a FP plus or P plus, right? It takes a long time to get a good approximation, right? And many scenarios, P plus or even FP plus, they are not realistic. They have a hidden big cost in there. So in practice, people will not use those algorithms. Although they have a good guarantee, right? But usually people will not use it. So here, we are trying to see whether we can design a better algorithm, faster algorithm, but although the performance is slightly worse, but still, it's not too bad. Okay? So let's see what we can do. Now we are going to formalize the knapsack problem also in linear program. Okay? So here, this is the integer program we have. We want to select some items, x, I equal to 1 means I select item I. I make sure the summation of cost is at most b. And I want to maximize the value of the selected items. Okay? Maximize the value subject to the budget restriction. Alright? Okay. Now, we realize it to be fraction, okay, to be normal linear program. But let me write down something, right? So what is the optimal solution if you can cut items? If I have an item value 100, I cut it into half, I have value 50, okay? If I do this, what's the optimal solution? I can cut it. What's the optimal solution? Yeah, so you choose the largest density point, so you can call it density, okay, per cost. It's very valuable. Then, of course, you choose those items first, right? So, because you can cut, so we divide the value by cost. We call the point density of item. We start with the largest density item first. If I can take it all, then take it all, right? And then second largest. Sir, take it. At some moment, you cannot take the whole item into your What do you do? Easy, right? Just cut that part, right? Fit the budget, and then take that part, right? Okay, that's the best solution you can ever imagine, right? Starting from the largest VI over CI, okay? Well, so this is the algorithm, right? So fractional solution. This is the algorithm. One example. Suppose item 1 has a cost 1, value 2. And item 2 has a cost m, value m. You see, the ratio, the density, item 1 is 2, right? Value 2 divided by cost 1. And item 2 is 1, right? M divided by m. So, if you compare this density, item 1 is more valuable, right? So, take item 1 first. You take the item 1. And if item 2, how much can you take? You can take the fraction, right? You can take this fraction, m minus 1 divided by m. That will fit the whole knapsack size, right? Knapsack budget. And then value is very big. But this fractional solution, there's no way to get an integral solution. Because if you still do rounding, what happens? You round this m minus 1 over m to 1. That means you take both items. But that does not make sense, right? If you take both items, your budget is violated, right? It's gone. So you cannot do rounding here. Then what can you do? Well, here, I think this is a very important message you will take home after the lecture. Okay? This is a very, very interesting technique. Okay? So, let me show you the... okay. So, two ways, right? If you give up the second item, which is cut, then the average is very bad, right? If you only take the first item, 2-1. Throw away the second item, the approximation distribution is very bad. So you cannot do that, right? Now, we look at the optimal value of the linear program. V1 plus V2 plus V3. So remember, this V is sorted according to VI over CI. It's a density, sorted by density. Taking some V, and in the end, the last item, you can only take a fraction of V. This xi can be half or one third or one fourth, right? So it's a fraction. Okay? Well, now, there's some good news about this optimal value. You know, the optimal value of this linear program is definitely less than this. This means you take the whole item I, right? Because in fractional solution, you can only take part of I, right? But if I allow you to take hold of I, then definitely this solution is better than optimal solution, right? Even larger than optimal solution. So you see, the optimal solution value will be bounded from above by this. Okay. So now, before I go on to the solution, I would like to ask whether some of you have heard about some machine learning classifier method, which assembles multiple weak classifiers and becomes a strong one after aggregation. For example, each of the classifiers, remember classifier is given some input, it will tell you whether it's true or not, right? True or false, right? And then you have multiple, alright? They are very weak. Each of them is weak. So their answer may not be accurate, right? So maybe this one tells you one, this one tells zero, this one tells you, it's also one. This one tells you it's one. So after you get the answer from all the weak classifiers, you make an aggregate decision. Say, oh, then I think this class should be one. Okay? Now if you make the collective decision, this huge classifier, the performance could be very good. Alright? Although each individual component is weak. Alright? Now if I remember correctly, it may not be correct. Okay? So, maybe it's called other boost or something. It's kind of boost. You're boosting weak classifiers to be a strong classifier, right? Okay, so here, we are using a similar methodology. So, we know that throwing away the second item or the last fractional item, it will give you a very bad approximation, right? So now I think, oh, then maybe I can choose the better solution of two algorithms. The first algorithm is, I do throw away the last item. I only keep the V1, V2 until Vi minus 1.
Okay, throw away the last one. And the second algorithm says, okay, I pick the last one. I throw away the black piece. I pick the last one. So now you see, actually, your two solutions, one of them is taking this part, right? The other one is taking this part. Alright? Although I don't know which one is better, I can compare them, right? I can compare these two solutions to see which one is better. Then I take which one. This is something like I design two algorithms for the same problem. Alright? These two algorithms, on different instances, they have different performance, right? In some instances, this is better, right? In some instances, this is better. Alright? But no matter which one is better, I just take the better one. I run both algorithms on the instance. I take a better solution. And I'm going to show this better solution is very good. Alright? So it's just like two weak algorithms, right? Each one of them is not good, right? If you just apply algorithm one, it's not good. If you just apply algorithm two, it's also not good, right? But if I combine them, it becomes good. Alright, okay. So now, see, what's my solution? My first algorithm takes this part. Alright? So your performance is that better than this, right? Or at least the same as this. My second algorithm, I take this part. But take this part, I can be even more ambitious. I say, I take the most valuable item from my collection. Because Vi is one item, right? One item of the possibility, of the possible selection. And now I take the best item. I take the one with the largest value. Alright? It must be better than Vi, right? Okay? So, I take the largest value one. It must be better than Vi. And this algorithm 2 will have this quality. Right? Algorithm 2's output is better than Vi. Now what do you have? Algorithm 1 is better than V1 plus V2 plus Vi minus 1. Algorithm 2 is better than Vi. So how about if I add algorithm 1 and algorithm 2 together? Better than optimal linear polarization. Is that right? Because you see, this is better than optimal. Right? Okay, so you add the value of algorithm 1 and algorithm 2 together, it's better than optimal, right? And the optimal LP is better than the true optimal, because optimal LP means you can cut items, right? If you cut items, you get so much. Then if you cannot cut, you can only get fewer, right? Okay, so now your two algorithms that stand up to be better than optimal, then if I take a better solution within these two, then how good it can be? I return this maximum of algorithm 1 and algorithm 2. Alright? Okay, this must be larger than at least half of the optimal solution. Is that right? Okay? The algorithm two, the two algorithms add together better than optimal. So if I take the better version of these two, it must be larger than half optimal, right? Well, that's very, very encouraging because using this very simple method, you are able to achieve two approximations or half approximation. Right? Okay? So this is something which I like a lot because it uses the simple algorithms combined together to become a strong algorithm, right? What you need to do is just to take the best solution returned by all the individual algorithms, right? Now I believe that maybe in the near future you probably can also use some similar idea in your projects. Okay? Yeah, any question here? Problem. Okay. So this is also a very classic problem. I believe that some of you have learned it.
And then numbers on the edge means how long does it take from to reach from B to D, right? So here, right? So this is a distance. Okay? Distance of the road. And now, what is a TSP? TSP says, I want to start from a node like this, like A, right? And I want to go through every node in the middle and then finally go back to the starting point, like this. Okay? So I want to do this kind of traveling, okay? Cross, visiting every node, every city in the middle, and then going back to the starting point. Okay? I want the traveling distance to be as small as possible. Right? We have many such tools. I want to find the smallest one. Okay. Well, so assume the graph satisfies the so-called triangle inequality. In other words, if you go from A to G and G to C, it will be more costly compared to going from A to C here. Okay. Now, when you have this, then it means that if you have a detour, like going like this, okay, it's always worse than going from A to B. So although some edges I didn't draw, actually it's there. Okay? You see, this is not a complete graph, right? But because of the triangle inequality, it should be a complete graph. Right? Going to some middle nodes and then to somewhere, it is not as good as going straight. Right? Alright. Okay. So now, one thing you notice is that how to generate a so-called tool, right? Visiting every node exactly once and go back to the beginning. If I remove one edge from a tool, it becomes a so-called spanning tree, a special spanning tree. Alright? What is spanning tree? Now, spanning tree means I visit, I will touch every node, right? And at the same time, I'm connected. And I'm also a tree, right? Remember what is a tree? So I will not dig deeper into the concept because that belongs to the data structure course. Okay. Now, remove one edge, it becomes a minimal spanning, a spanning tree. And among all the spanning tree, there is one called minimum spanning tree. Okay. There is a minimum spanning tree, which means that spanning tree has the smallest cost or smallest travel time of all the edges. Okay. Now. We can show that TSP, the length of TSP, is at least the length of minimum spanning tree. Because you see, TSP, after removing one edge from TSP, I have a minimum, I have a spanning tree, right? So that means your TSP must be one edge more compared to the spanning tree. So this direction is very straightforward. Now we focus on another direction, the other direction. The other direction is I take a minimum spanning tree, and then I try to visit all the nodes according to some traversing sequence. For example, I start from 1, and then I go from 1 to 2, and then 2 back to 1, and then to 3, and then 3 to 4, 4 back to 3, and then to 5, etc. So I can visit all the edges twice and make it a so-called tool. Right? Have a tree and then visit all the edges in some way, right? Make a closed tour. Alright? So the picture you see here, right? It's according to some search, Dexter search or something. Okay? Well, so now, what do I do? Let's say this is not a traveling, not a TSP solution because one vertex, right? You visit it too many times. I only want to go visit node once exactly, right? But I can do that. Why? Because you see, 1 to 2, and then 2 back to 1. This is not necessary. Instead of 2 back to 1, I can let 2 go directly to 3, like this. Alright? 2 to 1, 1 to 3, I can make it 2 to 3. By doing this, I only reduce the total traveling distance, right? Because of what? Triangle inequality. Right? Okay? Well, so, I can do similar things. 3 to 4, okay. And 4 to, now here is 4 to 3, 3 to 5, and then I can make it 4 to 5. So eventually, I have this kind of tool generated. Right? And this tool has a shorter length compared to this. Right? And what's the length of this one? This one has a length 2 it's broken by some scientists, and but this this basically is a very important important milestone. Although this improvement is tiny, somebody told me, hope is correct. It is the improvement is 10 to the power of negative 26, which means the improvement is 0.00001. So the ratio will be 1.499999999. Okay. So anyway, it's an improvement indeed. And then, although the improvement is tiny, the result is very significant. Okay. Well, so now.
Cycle, but that's not possible. Therefore, the TSP is an is a graph, alright? In this graph, I want to check whether there is a Hamiltonian cycle. And then, in the new graph, for TSP, because remember, TSP, it has to be a complete graph, right? A complete graph, every edge is there. Now, in the TSP graph, I will add those edges which are not there in the beginning and make their weight higher than the weight of the edges that exist. Okay, for example, in this graph G, there are four edges, and then in this new graph, these four edges will have weight 1. Okay, or this is 1. And for the two edges that do not exist in the original graph, I assign weight 2 to them. Alright? More costly. Alright, so by doing this, what can you say? Okay, if this graph has a Hamiltonian cycle, then what's the length of TSP here? That's TSP solution in the graph below. What is that? That's easy, right? Because you just follow Hamiltonian cycle. Every edge is 1, right? 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay, 1. Everything is 1. I can come back, right? That will be length n. Right? Length n. Now, on the other hand, if the original graph does not have a Hamiltonian cycle, then there's no way to start from somewhere and go through every node in between, in the middle, and come back to the original, going only through edges with weight 1. Right? It's not possible to have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. No. Because that means you find a Hamiltonian cycle, right? Because I told you, there is no Hamiltonian cycle. Right? Second one. Okay, sorry. If there's no Hamiltonian cycle, then you will not be that lucky to go through 1 every time, right? There must be one edge you go through, it's cost 2, right? Okay? So that means your TSP cycle length is at least n plus 1 in case Hamiltonian cycle does not exist, right? If the cycle does not exist, your cost is at least n plus 1. Okay? So now, you can do some math. You say, okay, if I'm able to solve TSP exactly right, what does it mean? It means I can immediately know whether your Hamiltonian cycle exists in the original graph. Right? Because if my solution returned by TSP is n, then I can very safely tell you, okay, your original graph has a Hamiltonian cycle, right? If your solution returned to me is n plus 1, then I tell you, oh, no Hamiltonian cycle. That means if you solve TSP, you can solve Hamiltonian cycle. But that's not possible, because Hamiltonian cycle is simply hard, right? So that means your TSP is also hard. It's also hard. It's not possible to be easy, right? Your problem cannot be easier than Hamiltonian cycle. Okay, so that finished the proof that TSP is NP-hard. So now, the major thing, although we don't have much time, so the major thing here is that in order to prove, it cannot be approximate within some factor. Actually, we need to play around with this 2. Because this 2 is arbitrary, right? When I say it's 2, maybe you already have some flash in your mind why it has to be 2. Can I do 1.5 or 3? 100? Well, the answer is yes. You can make it any value. Alright? Because you can make it any value, that allows us to prove some stronger bounds. Alright? For example, you can make this 2, n plus 1. Alright? I make this non-existent edge because it costs n plus 1. Then when that happens, what can you conclude? I say, okay, now
which can get an approximation ratio of alpha. And this alpha is 2 minus epsilon. Which means you can do better than 2 approximation, right? Suppose you can do better than 2 approximation. Then what can you say? Say, okay, I run it on this TSP instance, transform TSP instance. If we obtain a TSP cycle larger than or equal to 2n, then what does it mean? Because your ratio is less than 2 minus epsilon, right? Your ratio is 2 minus epsilon. So if your length is 2n, that means your best TSP is larger than n. Think about it. If your best TSP is n, then multiplying 2 minus epsilon, you cannot reach 2n, right? Okay? So if you return to me a solution whose length is 2n, with this knowledge, with this 2 minus epsilon approximation assumption, you can conclude your TSP, best TSP length, is larger than n. If best TSP is larger than n, what does it mean? It means Hamiltonian cycle does not exist. Because if it exists, your best TSP should be n, right? Alright? Okay. So, in other words, on the other hand, right, if your return length is less than 2n, then that means you have a Hamiltonian cycle. Right? Because the return length is less than 2n, your base cannot be what? Your base cannot be n, right? Oh, sorry. My bad. Okay? So if your return length is less than 2n, that means your base, your base problem there, it must be a, there must be a Hamiltonian cycle, because your optimal solution here, it's not n, it's n plus 1, for example. Then multiplying this 2 minus epsilon will go beyond the 2n. So, to make it short, alright, if the original graph has a Hamiltonian cycle, that means your TSP length is n, and because of the approximation guarantee I have, the final return value must be less than 2n, right? But remember our conclusion here. Your TSP length is either n or at least 2n, right? Only these two options. So if it gives you a TSP less than 2n, that TSP must be n. It cannot be the other category, right? Okay? So that's why we said, okay, based on the return result, I can very safely know whether the original graph has a Hamiltonian cycle or not, given the knowledge that it is a 2 minus epsilon. Right? And then I can further extend it and say, okay, I can further extend the solution, the answer, to the following. I say, okay, I make your function like this. If there's no edge, the value is this. And then you will have two classes possible. The one is, if you have Hamiltonian cycle, the length is still n. If you do not have it, the length is at least n times fn. So now the gap between these two extremes, it becomes a factor of fn. So that's why we say, oh, actually you cannot have a better than fn approximation in this scenario. Okay? So I guess I will not talk about the details here, just a brief summary. Sorry for overrunning a bit. Okay. Now, a brief summary is, we have many different methods to solve different problems, right? And especially greedy, dynamic programming, linear programming plus rounding, and also sometimes we use the structures together with the relationship with the P problem here, this one, right? The Fitzgerald and the metric TSP. And then also, we study the combination of multiple algorithms to solve NAPSEC, giving two approximations, and there are also other methods. But there are some general tips. Whenever you are facing some problems, you first understand the structure of the problem, all right? And then also understand difficulty, try to prove whether it's going to be hard or not, right? And then you'll start with some common techniques like greedy or dynamic programming, and then you try to prove your approximation ratio, right? And then you can show that, oh, my approximation ratio 2, it is type for my algorithm. So basically, giving one example, you say, ah, I have one example where my algorithm cannot do better than the ratio. So the analysis of my algorithm is type. So there are two types. One is analysis of algorithm. The other is the real lowdown. So it means no algorithm can do better than a certain ratio, right? So that's an even stronger guarantee of your algorithm to be good, right? Okay, and then you can use examples to show your conjecture and also disprove your conjecture. And of course, whenever you have an algorithm with certain ratio, you can always try to improve it. As long as nobody shows better than this is not possible, right? Okay, so the last one is finding the bottleneck or limit of that approximation. So how good you can. Okay, so I guess this is all I'm going to share with you. A bit quicker.